outside to get a better hold. When my hand closed around the handle, I felt myself being lifted back to my feet. The gun came with me. Mike was startled as he held me in the air. My feet dangled and skimmed the ground. His grip tightened on my arm, and I knew it would bruise, but nothing mattered except the gun in my hand and Carter. Where was Carter? I looked again. He was fighting another man. This one was twice his size. He threw a punch. Carter dodged it and jammed his elbow into the guy's face. As he stumbled back, Carter kicked at his knees. The man fell down, but Carter wasn't done. He raised his gun once again and brought the back end of it down with all his strength. The guy fell backwards. Bang, bang, bang! More shots rang out. Carter looked over. His eyes widened when he saw me, now clasped against Mike's chest. Then he jerked his gun up and pointed straight at me. I watched in almost sick fascination as his thumb pulled the trigger. Oh! Mike whirled. I went with him. We both saw a man behind us on the ground. Carter had shot him. Blood seeped from his forehead and his gun fell to the ground.
Get her out of here. Sir.
Carter had sprinted back. He waved us off.
Get her out of here now.
Mike threw me inside and flung himself next to me. I was pushed to the ground before I realized what was going on, and the car sped off. No! I tried to get up. Carter! The hand on my head tightened. I was held in place. He had half of his body over mine, and he yelled in my ear,
He'll be safe.
Carter! Mike shook his head next to mine. His voice softened.
He'll be safe, Emma. He wants you to be safe more than him.
No! I tried to claw at his arm. I needed to get free and get back to Carter. We left him behind.
No.
He shook his head again. Both of his arms came around me now.
There's another car. He'll come with that car.
We had gone too far. I knew I couldn't get back to him, so I listened to what he said. Carter would come with the next car. He had to. Everything would be fine. But as we went back to Carter's home, I looked down. The gun was still in my hand. Carter. Carter watched as two cars sped away with Emma in the back. She was safe. He kept telling himself that. She was safe. He needed to make sure there were no others, and he was one of the best. He was needed there. Not with her. Not yet. There was a third car, and he sprinted over to it. The driver had been shot and slumped over the steering wheel, sounding the horn. Carter pulled his body back to silence it. Then he sensed movement in the back seat and ripped out a struggling man. The man swung his arm around, trying to aim his gun at Carter, but it was knocked away. The man kicked out. That was blocked as well. He swung his other leg at him, but was pinned to the car. He couldn't do a thing but glare at his captor. Carter stared at him. He didn't say a word. He didn't blink. His eyes were blank. They were ice-cold blue. Jean hurried over. The taller, older man stopped and glanced around. He stroked his jaw.
That was the first hit. I'm aware.
Carter glared at him. He threw the man to one of their guards and crossed to kick at one of the unconscious men. When he was rewarded with a moan, he hauled the guy up and threw him against a wall.
Who leaked her location? We can interrogate them at the warehouse. No, Carter.
Jean stepped forward, placing a hand on his associate's tense shoulders.
We will do this. Go to your woman. Make sure she's okay.
Carter knew he was right. Jean was always right. It was annoying. However, while he would normally ignore the unwanted advice, he listened this time. He remembered Emma's face and how pale she had gone when she was lifted into the car. He reached down, wound his arms around the struggling man, and snapped his neck. As he stood, Jean stepped back and asked him,
Did that make you feel better?
No. He glanced up, an impassive mask over his face.
We leave for Chicago tomorrow. Are you sure?
Carter didn't answer. Jean sighed.
There's another issue.
Carter snapped his gaze to his friend, his jaw clenched as he waited.
The boyfriend went back.
Carter's shoulders grew even more rigid.
Tell me he went for money. There was no money with him. They're getting him hooked. They can control him better that way if they still need him.
A savage curse came out, but Carter couldn't do anything about that. He repeated instead,
"We go to Chicago tomorrow."
Jean never questioned him again.
"And call Noah. I don't want her going to New York. It's not safe."
Two of his other men had pulled up on motorcycles. He gestured for one to step off, and he climbed on. He turned the bike around and went home. 16. The car sped into the basement, and Mike carried me through a door. It opened to the gym, and we kept going until we were in the kitchen. After he set me down in the middle of the room, he swept it. Four more men followed, and they went in opposite directions. They were checking the perimeter. I couldn't form a thought, much less a decision, so I stayed and swayed on my feet.
Clear! Clear!
Clear!
Clear! Clear!
I glanced around the kitchen and croaked out, "Clear in here!" Someone laughed somewhere in the building, but all seemed quiet as they filtered down to the kitchen area. Nope, only three of them did. Two were missing. Mike said,
"They took point outside your elevator."
Oh, of course, the elevator. Couldn't forget the elevator.
"Emma."
I turned. It was Mike speaking to me. Why was he the only one that ever spoke to me? He gestured towards a stool that one of the other guys pulled out.
"You look like you're going to fall down."
Oh. Then I swayed a bit more until the guy behind the chair took my arm and guided me into it. He pushed me up to the counter, and I lifted my hands to rest on it.
"She has a gun?"
The men whirled around, but it was Carter. He stood in the open door from the gym, and he was pissed. He rounded on Mike and pointed to the counter.
"She has a gun?"
He looked at a loss. I sighed in relief. He was here. He was alive. He was furious, but damn, he was hot. I couldn't stop a blush from forming at my thoughts. Images flashed in my mind of us on the bed, in the car, on this counter. Yep. I bobbed my head in a nod to myself. I was in shock. I must have been, because all I wanted to do was jump Carter. I didn't want to think about those gunshots or the bodies we left behind. Nope. Sex seemed like a better distraction to me.
"Emma."
Carter had come closer. He tipped my head up to his.
"Where did you get the gun from?"
"The guy you shot?" He frowned. "His gun slid under the car and I reached to get it. I wanted to help." He softened and placed a tender kiss to my lips. He murmured against them,
"Leave the gun. Go take a shower."
I stayed. It wasn't to make a statement. I just didn't think my legs could work.
"Please, Emma."
I nodded. "I can't walk." One of the men snickered again. Carter shot him a dark look, but slid his hands underneath my legs. He lifted me from the chair and my legs wrapped around his waist. Apparently, they worked enough to do that. When he turned and left the kitchen, I laid my head on his shoulder. This felt good. This felt like home. As he took us both to his bathroom, he set me back down on the ground. I stood there, motionless, as he opened the glass door to his shower. He padded inside what was more an entire shower room and tested the water until it was warm enough. Steam started to fill the room as he came back to me. His eyes never left me. There was so much sadness in them. I touched his lips and sighed.
"What is it?"
His voice had grown hoarse. I shook my head. "All that bad stuff happened, but all I care about is being with you."
"Emma,"
he groaned. "You killed more men tonight." He dropped his forehead so it rested on mine. His breath caressed my skin.
"I did."
My hand went to his chest where I felt his heart. It was strong, beating fast. You were protecting me.
Emma, if you don't want this to go any further, you have to stop now.
I looked up. I didn't say a word. He was giving me an out. But I didn't want it. I couldn't. Not anymore. All I wanted was to be with him. He saw my answer and his eyes darkened. I held my breath as he stepped back and slid his hands underneath my dress. As his hands slid up against my skin, he lifted it over my head. I raised my arm so it cleared my head, and then he tossed it aside. My bra went next. With my breasts freed, he cupped one in his hand, his thumb rubbing over the tip. My heart was beating so fast. The ache for him spread through me, but I couldn't do anything. I stood there, wanting more, needing more. When he bent over and took my nipple in his mouth, I couldn't hold back a moan. My hands slid through his hair and took hold, but I was the one held captive by his mouth. He teased me, his teeth biting down gently on the tip as his tongue swept around the nub. My back arched, giving him better access as my head fell back. The sensations blinded me. My desire was almost overwhelming, and my legs began to tremble. He kept kissing my breasts. One of his hands slid down the front of my body. As he cupped me, and his fingers went inside again, he lifted me up so that my legs wound around his waist. He stood to his fullest height. I was wrapped around him as he turned to walk into the shower. When he stepped underneath the water, I wasn't fazed. It didn't register over the fire heating up inside of me. He stroked in and out, fanning the flames. His teeth released my nipple, and he went in search for my mouth. I gasped, feeling his lips slam into mine, and he swept inside as his fingers stroked deeper with each thrust. "Carter!" He kept thrusting. I kept building. I slammed my back against the wall and dug my nails into his shoulders. I was almost there, just at the peak. Then it hit me full force, and I cried out, unable to stop myself. I couldn't do anything. Carter held me in place as the waves rode over me. Each one sent a pulsating sensation through me, and in the end, I was reduced to a puddle. It was then, when he saw that my orgasm had stopped, that he moved and sat me on a seat inside the shower. With heavy eyelids, I watched as he stripped off the rest of his clothes. The rest of my pants came next. As he bent to pull it from my feet, his shoulders bunched and bulged before me. I bit my lip, already wanting to touch him again. I wanted to feel those muscles against me. Before he stood, he pressed a kiss to the inside of my thigh. I gasped as another burst of pleasure soared through me. But he stood and sent me a smug smirk. He was very aware of the effect he was having over my body. My eyes narrowed, a smart comment on the tip of my tongue, but he stepped back into the shower spray and the words died. Hunger stirred in me as I watched the water slide over his body. I thought earlier that he had molded his body into a weapon, and I'd been right. He was perfect. From the cut between the muscles in his arms to how his obliques curved down his lean waist. Every muscle stood out underneath his skin. He was perfect. He watched me as he washed himself. I couldn't tear my gaze away. By the time he was done, my body was brimming with lust again. The first orgasm had only intensified my hunger for him. When he came back for me, he pulled me to my feet and stepped underneath the spray with me. He lathered shampoo into my hair and rinsed it as I stood touching him. I closed my eyes underneath his tender ministrations. Then he turned and washed my body, every inch. As he cleaned my core, kneeling in front of me, he glanced up and met my eyes in a heated look before he placed his mouth there. I gasped and surged to the tips of my toes. His tongue swept inside of me, and a guttural moan was ripped from the bottom of my throat. He held me anchored in place, with his hands on my thighs as his tongue swept in and out. He nibbled and licked as I trembled, clutching him until a second climax swept through me, crashing over all senses in my body. He swept me back up in the air. Temporarily seated, my head rested on his shoulder, and I wrapped my arms and legs around him as he carried me from the shower to his bedroom. He lowered me down and then toweled me dry. I couldn't look away from him as he took care of me. His touch was loving. As he dried himself, I wanted him to slide into bed with me. I wanted to show him the same care. But he disappeared into his closet and came out dressed in black clothing. "What are you doing?" My voice was raspy. My body hummed with pleasure, and my eyelids grew heavy with each word I asked. He came over and pulled the comforter from underneath me. As he tucked me into the bedding, he kissed my naked shoulder. His lips brushed against my skin.
"Sleep, Emma. I will be back."
"Wait." Suddenly panicked, I caught his hand before he slipped away. "Where are you going?"
"I have to take care of some things. I will be back."
He glanced out the door.
"If you need anything, the men are here."
He brushed some of my hair back from my forehead.
"Sleep, Emma. You've been through enough tonight."
"Carter." I wanted him with me. I didn't want him to leave. But he was gone the next instant. As he turned off the light and shut the door behind him, I was left with my heart constricting in fear. I didn't want him to go. That was the bottom line for me. I wanted him with me. I wanted to sleep a night with him, especially after the night we just had. But as I lay there for another hour, I knew he had things to do. I wasn't going to get any sleep that night. He didn't return for the rest of the weekend. Saturday passed, then Sunday. I spent both days wandering around the building. I sent a few text messages to Amanda asking how Mallory was, but they went unanswered. I wasn't surprised. Teresa called me Sunday afternoon and asked if I wanted to come for dinner, but I declined. She saw Carter with me. She knew that I knew him and had kept quiet when she discussed him earlier. An explanation, albeit short and mostly fabricated, was needed to smooth out our co-working relationship, along with any friendship I felt was burgeoning. However, as I rose Monday morning and dressed for work, I didn't have the energy needed to dredge up a lie that made sense. Mike had the morning off, so a new guard was beside me. Two more were inside the home, while another two were outside the elevator. I wouldn't have been surprised if Carter had an entire perimeter around me. He extended messages through his men to me, that he was all right, that he wished me good night, and that he would return as soon as possible. I didn't know if they were actually from Carter or something he told his men to say if they sensed my growing restlessness. I had no idea, but I tried to keep myself from becoming angry. I knew he was a busy man. After an attack like we had, I knew he would have more pressing matters to attend to. But I missed him. And I worried about him. I'd been in my office for 10 minutes before Mr. Hudson barreled through. He didn't knock. Again.
"What did you do?"
"Excuse me?"
"What did you do?"
He tossed a paper on my desk.
"We were taken off the bourbon account. What did you do? Miss Weber requested it, and since she's higher than you and her boss is higher than me, we got pinched. What did you do, Emma?"
I picked up the paper and saw it was an email from the director of sales sent to Mr. Hudson. There it was. It said in 3 short sentences that the group had been reassigned. The team had 2 new names, and we weren't on it. I checked the bottom of the page. It was sent from Noah Tomlinson himself. I gulped. Teresa really did have a problem with Carter, and she knew I was connected to him. Shit! We were off the account because of me.
So?
I lied. I had no other choice. I have no idea, Mr. Hudson. Teresa and I were getting along fine. She even invited me over for drinks Friday night. I went to Octave with her. He started a huff, but froze midway.
You went to Octave? You got into Octave?
He was taken aback.
Well, now, my girls say that's the place to get into when you got in.
His head bobbed in some form of a nod, but then he frowned.
Well, something happened between then until now. We're out. I want you to fix it. I want to be on that team, Emma. Make it happen.
I picked up my phone, ready to call... who? I had no one to call. Mallory was the one I usually called. If she didn't answer, I went to Amanda. But since the bathroom a full week ago, I hadn't heard from her, and Mallory had never been one to reach out. Who was my other friend? Teresa, for 1 week, and Carter, but I couldn't even call him. He was off doing what Mike had termed the cleanup from Friday night's attack. I didn't want to know what that meant, and judging by the grim set of his shoulders, I saw that he didn't want me to ask. But it made sense, since there'd been no coverage of our attack. I checked the news over the weekend. Nothing. I put my phone back down and sent Teresa an email instead. An automatic response came back, stating she'd be out of the office all week. A few days passed with no results. It wasn't until Thursday, the day that I was supposed to be leaving for New York, that I even glimpsed Teresa. I pushed the button for the elevator, and it opened. My eyes popped out when I saw Teresa inside, with a pencil in her mouth and two large suitcases beside her. She was holding on to a large poster, but it started to slip out of her hands. Oh! She scrambled to catch it, losing her other grip on the briefcase. It fell to the floor and opened, scattering papers, pens, folders, and flash drives all over the floor. Oh, no! She bent and started to grab for her stuff. I got in, hit my button, and knelt to help her. Oh, gosh, you don't have to do that, really, Emma. She gave me an awkward smile around the pencil still in her mouth. I settled back on my feet. That wasn't the reaction I had been expecting. Oh, no, it's no problem. I glanced down at some of the papers in my hands and saw the logo for the New Richmond Bourbon. The two suitcases seemed ominous next to her. So you're going to the airport from here? Oh, yeah. She brushed her hand back and smoothed her hair from her forehead. It only pulled more hair out of the ponytail. Since Noah added Allison, this week has been hell. I meant to call you the other day and see if you wanted to meet at Joe's for a drink after, but I never got time to do that. I haven't had a chance to check my email. Can you believe that? She groaned. I know that once we finish this, I'll have a week's worth of email stuff to catch up, and that's on top of everything we're going to be doing after we present to the board. Wait, this wasn't making sense. Noah pulled me? Noah pulled Mr. Worthless. He didn't want your boss to get the credit, so he added Allison and Harold instead. Talk about being ineffective. With you, we would have had a great week and had all this done by Monday. With her, I'll be lucky to get it all done by the time we walk into that boardroom. I wish she were coming. Trust me. Oh, that was unexpected. I thought it was you that requested the switch. Gosh, no! I wish you were still on it. We could have been relaxing poolside with margaritas by now if you were on the project. When the last piece of paper had been picked up, Teresa stood, smoothing out her skirt and her hair. More strands were pulled from her ponytail. By the way, who was the hottie getting into that car with you? She laughed. Next thing I know, I'm returning from the bathroom and Noah says you've got a ride home. Imagine my surprise when we leave later and there you are, holding hands with Mr. GQ himself. Mr. GQ himself? Did she really not know? I laughed. It was kind of sudden. Teresa snorted as the elevator slid open. You can say that again. After she stepped out and saw that I remained, she caught the door. Aren't you coming? My exit was a floor down. I forgot something by the lobby. I'll see you next week. Oh, okay, see you. Let's have wine when I get back. When the doors closed behind her, I was left with one very confused thought. What the hell had just happened? 17. I should have gone through the back exit I had come to use since Carter came back into my life. I should have gone home, but I didn't. Feeling rebellious for some reason, I went out the main entrance and turned into the cafe where Amanda worked. With a quick scan, I saw that she was working. She was placing cookies onto a tray for their display case, so I rounded the counter and leaned against its side next to her. She kept sliding the cookies onto the tray and ignored me. I had sent another text earlier that morning, but it went unanswered. Again. I wasn't sure what she was doing, pretending I didn't exist, but I knew Carter advised against communicating with all three of them. He said they were a risk. They could hand me over to ensure their safety. But when I glanced over my shoulder, I saw Mike pretending to study the menu by the door, and one of the other guards just came out of the bathroom. I was safe. I had no idea how they moved that fast, but they were good, and since my visit to Joe's, they had upped their surveillance over me. Amanda? Nothing. She rearranged a row of the cookies now. You can't ignore me. She sighed and moved an entire row of cookies to the side on the tray. Why are you mad at me? She shot me a dark look, moved the same row back to their original spot. Okay, I got the message, but I wasn't going anywhere. I was tired of being alone. Since I got the boot from the account, the other girls I'd previously been friendly with had taken her cue. They stayed away. I didn't get a hello in the break room anymore, so my week had literally been spent by myself in the office. Mr. Hudson hadn't come back to the office since he gave me that warning, and his secretary only shook her head every time I popped in to see if he was in or not. I had sent Teresa emails and considered emailing Noah himself, but he was the big man. Before last Friday, I would have pissed my pants at the thought of sending him an email without having it approved by Mr. Hudson. I didn't think it was appropriate now. Maybe it was my sorrows at disappointing my boss, or thinking that Teresa had been the one to boot me from the account. I didn't know. Maybe it was just that Carter had been gone all week, and life felt lonelier to me now. But I missed Mallory. I missed Amanda, and I even, only slightly, missed Ben. I wasn't going anywhere, not until she said something to me. "How's Mallory?" The entire pan fell off the counter. As it crashed to the floor and everyone in the cafe looked over, Amanda knelt down and started grabbing all the cookies with frantic hands. I knelt beside her. She was blushing. The back of her neck was bright red. She smacked my hand. "Don't." "Hey." My eyes lit up. "Hey." She talked to me. She cursed under her breath, reaching for the cookies that went the farthest. "Go away, Emma." "No," I frowned. "Why?" "Because Mallory and Ben are gone," she hissed. We were still on the floor. Most of the cookies had been collected. My hand jerked, and the few that had been in it were now crumbs. "What?" "They're gone. Like you, you're gone too. Everyone's gone." She stood and brushed off her pants. "You should take that as a clue and stay away. I should take that as a clue and get a different job." "I don't want to stay away," I mumbled. I felt ridiculous. "Yeah, well, I don't care." She glared at me before she took the tray into the back room. I followed. I heard a groan come from the bathroom hallway, but I didn't look to see if it was the guard or not. I didn't care. When Amanda saw that I had followed her, more curses fell from her lips. She took the tray to the sink and wiped off all the cookies into the garbage beside it. "I know you texted on Monday, but I tossed my phone. Things don't feel right to me." "You said that Mallory and Ben are gone?" She jerked her head in a tight nod before she turned the water on. "Yeah, I packed all your stuff at the apartment and took a few things to Ben's on Sunday. Things that I thought Mallory would want. But his place was empty." "Empty? They were gone. His clothes looked packed. He had boxes out in the kitchen with dishes. I went back Monday and everything was locked up. I tried the extra key, but they changed the locks. From what I could see, even his furniture was gone. They took off, Emma." The pan was in the sink and the water was on, but she didn't move to clean it. She studied me instead. "You look good. I'm glad someone's doing okay with this whole ordeal." I stepped back as if slapped. But she didn't know. She hadn't pulled the trigger. That had been me.
I'm sorry that you got dragged into this.
Into what? She snapped. Doesn't seem like anything happened. The body's been missing. Who the hell did that? Then you left. Now those two. It's just me.
I didn't even know what to do with your stuff, so I put it all into storage.
You need me to pay for that? She shrugged, putting the pan underneath the water now.
It doesn't matter. Ben gave me enough money, so it's paid for a year.
Wait. I grabbed her arm.
Ben gave you money?
Yeah, why?
He wasn't the type to give money, much less have money.
Where'd it come from?
I don't know. He didn't say, just tossed me a big envelope and told me to take care of Mallory's stuff. I didn't question it. After you took off, I learned that maybe it's better if I don't ask any questions.
My eyes narrowed. How'd Ben look?
What do you mean?
She grew weary now, more than she had been at the beginning. Was he his normal grouchy self?
When's he not his normal grouchy self?
She paused with the pan in her hand.
Actually, now that you mention it, he looked happy last week.
She shuddered.
I don't even want to know what that means. I took the money and did what he said. I told you before that I would take care of your apartment. Two of my co-workers helped me clean, and I left your keys on the counter. Your landlord seemed fine with that.
I nodded. I tried to tell myself that things were fine. I was safe. Amanda seemed fine. Pissy, but fine. However, I couldn't shake what she told me. Mallory and Ben were gone. What did that mean? That had to mean something. And Ben had money? Ben never had money. Something was off. Well, considering the situation, something was really off. She bit her lip, eyeballing me.
You don't look too good now.
What's wrong, Emma? I jerked my head up. Nothing, it's fine. Thanks for taking care of the apartment.
Look, her shoulders dropped and her voice softened. I'm sorry that I didn't text you or call you. You gave me that new number, and I know you were never one to really call, but I was mad after you took off.
I know you did something to keep us all safe, and I know that I'm not supposed to ask what that was. But Mallory went off the deep end a few days after you left. She got real bad again. Ben wouldn't let me call you. He said that you deserted us, so we would make do without you.
She blew out a deep breath.
Anyways, so I was mad at you for a bit, and I missed you. I miss making fun of Ben with you. He's so weird sometimes.
I grinned, despite myself. This wasn't a funny situation, but I missed those moments, too.
You said he was happy. What's Ben like when he's happy?
Oh, you know.
She chuckled. The pan had been cleaned and put on the drying section.
He was walking around, strutting like some peacock that got laid by a swan. I don't know. He had some weird new walk, thrusting his hips around.
More chuckles poured from her.
I know, he thought he was hot stuff, but he looked ridiculous, like a plump turkey that got stuffed and liked it.
My grin widened, and I relaxed. I had missed this. I missed our camaraderie.
He thought he was hot stuff?
I caught him checking himself out in the mirror. I think he'd been jerking it, but I wasn't sure. He was all sweaty and his pants were undone.
Gross.
Her nose wrinkled up. Tell me about it. By then, Mallory was starting to come around again. She thought he was stupid, too, but it's not the same. She doesn't...
Her voice trailed off, and a glimmer of sadness appeared before she looked away.
Mallory wasn't me. She didn't laugh at Ben like we did.
So, my voice hitched on a note. Mallory was doing better before...
I couldn't bring myself to say it. That Mallory and Ben were gone.
Oh, God. I swallowed a knot in my throat. What did that mean?
They had left.
No one had taken them?
My chest tightened. Had Franco found Mallory? But Carter hadn't said anything. He would have told me, wouldn't he? But then I knew...
He wouldn't.
And he'd been gone all week.
Just like that, my stomach dropped, and I knew something horrible had happened.
Emma?
Amanda was frowning at me. She was pale now.
You don't look so good.
I have to go. I turned on my heel and walked out of there. I would have run if it hadn't looked suspicious, but as I went, my heart dropped again. Everything had changed. Jeremy Dunvin changed everything. Carter was right. This had been done to me. I lost my friends because of what he did to Mallory. My jaw hardened. I was done with waiting and hiding. I had taken care of Mallory before Carter came into my life. I wasn't helpless, and he needed to start telling me what was going on. This was my life, too. As soon as I cleared the cafe's entrance, I was whisked into a car waiting for me. Mike pushed me inside and climbed behind me. Another door shut in the front, so I figured the guard by the bathroom sat by the driver. I glared at Mike and rubbed my arm where he had gripped me harder than he ever had before.
"Ouch!"
he growled, then blanched and sat up straight.
"Is your arm okay?"
"It's fine." I eyed him. I'd never seen Mike as anything other than professional, but he quickly switched, oozing it again. "You're mad at me?" He stiffened. I corrected. "You're all mad at me, aren't you?" He didn't respond. That was my answer. I sighed and scooted down. "I just missed her. I'm sorry." And I wouldn't do it again. I knew that much. They were only doing their job, and I had gotten mad. I was still mad, but I was going to take it out on Carter. And when I said take it out on him, I let out a deep sigh and knew I wouldn't say a word. He was protecting me. I shouldn't forget that, and I had, for a little bit that afternoon.
"When you deviate into an unmarked room without us, you're going in blind. We were not prepared for the back room of that cafe."
"Oh. Huh? When you say unmarked, you mean..."
"We've been over every room in your work building. We've even planned for the cafe, but you went into a dark room. We didn't have a guy in the back ready because we didn't think you would follow her. We thought you would stay in the front room."
"So a dark room is somewhere that you guys haven't mapped out yet?"
"Planned for."
"What's the difference?" He grimaced.
"We will be better next time. I promise."
I blinked at him for a moment. Why was he apologizing to me? He saw my look.
"If something had happened, if someone had grabbed you, it would have been our fault. We weren't ready. We have to always be ready."
Oh. And the Shame of the Month award went to me. I was flooded with guilt. "I won't go into rooms like that again. Would that help?" There was so much about what they did that I didn't know about. "Maybe you guys could help me learn about how you operate. I don't really know that much, except that Carter told me to call 09 for when I'm ready to go home. I never call it, but you guys always seem to know. He said you guys have been watching me for a long time." He shrugged.
"We have a blending technique, but you don't really need to understand that. We'll do better next time."
"Okay." I wanted to know. I wanted to help. But I sensed that Mike wanted the conversation to be done. I let it go. It was later that I wondered about all the security guards again. I had showered, changed clothes, and my stomach was rumbling. When I heated up food, I saw one of the guards turn suddenly away from me. His hand grabbed at his stomach, and I knew it hadn't been mine that was rumbling. I wondered when the last time these guys ate, but no. They must have had breaks at times. Still, I looked at the huge casserole in front of me. There was too much for me, so I dished it onto three plates and handed one to the guy. A fork was next. He was startled, but shook his head.
"No, ma'am. That's all right."
His stomach sounded again. I rolled my eyes and pushed it into his hands. "I'm not going to die in the 2 minutes it'll take you to eat that. Go ahead." I lifted the other plate. "Where's the other guy?" He hesitated, but gestured with the fork to my floor.
"He's outside by the elevator."
"Eat." I pointed to his plate as I started towards the stairs. The other guard had a similar reaction, except he dropped his radio. It hit the floor with a loud screech, and he grabbed it, muttering apologies at the same time. I left the plate on the bench beside him and waved. Have fun. Eat up. I scanned the small hallway. No Mike. Where are the others? His head jerked up.
Ma'am?
I sighed. Why did they all have to call me ma'am? Mike and the rest of the guards? Where is he and how many are there? I'll cook something for everyone. They can eat it when you guys take your breaks. I could tell he hadn't expected that. He almost dropped his plate.
Mike got called away for a transport, and there are 8 others.
8? Really? Okay, I'll make more. I didn't ask what a transport was. I was starting to figure out what they would tell me and what they wouldn't. Whatever a transport was made the list of things not to discuss with Emma. But when I got back to the kitchen, I was surprised at how many guards Carter had enlisted. That meant there were 10 security guards around me at all times. 10? My stomach dropped, and I sat down with a plop on the counter stool. I swallowed a lump in my throat. 10 guards. I had known there were a few, but 10. It was serious. My situation was serious. Carter wasn't one to waste anyone's time. Then I remembered what Amanda had said about Ben and Mallory. My hands started to tremble. I pushed that thought away before, but now I couldn't shake it. Something happened. I knew it. I could feel it. That same something could happen to me. 10 guards. All 10 of them were trained and ready to take a bullet for me. My stool started to wobble, and I grabbed onto the counter. I couldn't hold on. My hands were shaking too much.
Ma'am?
I heard the guard's voice in the distance. Things were going black. He sounded far away. I thought he had been in the next room. Maybe he moved. And then the darkness covered all of me. Something crashed far away, and I heard his radio buzz.
She's down. Call the boss.
18.
Emma.
A hand touched my arm briefly. I jerked awake and was disoriented. A large black silhouette stood above me and I started screaming.
Stop.
He bent further down.
It's me, Mike.
I gasped on my last scream when he turned on the light, but my chest was still heaving from the panic. My heart was pounding. I rolled over to dry heave until I started to calm down. I felt something cold against my arm.
It's Carter. He wants to talk to you.
What? The cold thing pressed against me again.
It's Carter. He's on the phone.
Phone? Carter. My hand streaked out, and I grabbed the small cell phone. When I rolled over, I pressed it to my ear and asked, Carter?
Hey.
Everything in me sagged in relief. His voice soothed me. In the distance, I was barely aware of a door clicking shut. I murmured back, Hey. He chuckled. His smooth baritone came over the phone and sidled over me, like another caress from him. I closed my eyes and snuggled deeper into bed. I didn't care how I got there. What had happened? All I needed was Carter. That was all I knew.
They said you fainted. Are you okay?
I grimaced as I remembered. Yeah, I did.
Why?
Because you weren't here. Because I think something happened to Mallory and Ben. Amanda told me they're gone, and I think you know something happened to them. Because I'm tired of feeling trapped. Because I got booted off a great project at work, and I don't know why. Because I miss Amanda, I miss all of them, even Ben. I felt stupid saying all of that, and I felt even more stupid because it was coming out of me in a rush. I needed him. My hand shook as it held the phone to my ear. Because I miss you, and because I'm scared. There was silence on the other end. Another beat passed.
I'm coming back.
Everything in me exploded, but I tried to argue with him. No, I didn't mean for you to do that.
I'm coming home anyway.
He sounded tired.
I have some business in New York, but I'll head to the jet right after.
He paused.
I miss you too.
Warmth burst inside of me. But I tried to tone it down. I was becoming one of those gushy types. I hated those types. But I whispered back, "I'm glad you're coming back."
"You have to promise me something first."
"What?"
"Stop taking your anger out on the guys and making sudden changes."
Guilt sunk low in my gut.
"You can go wherever you want. Just tell the guys first. They're good at their jobs, but sometimes they can't adapt fast enough. Please, Emma."
"I will."
"Good. How was your week?"
"It sucked." He chuckled again.
"I'm guessing it's not just because of last week."
"What?"
"Friday night, Emma."
"Oh." My eyes widened. I'd forgotten about the attack. How could I have forgotten? That slipped my mind. I can't believe that.
"Look."
His voice dropped to an intimate tone.
"I can't talk about a lot of things over the phone, but I'm making things happen. I'm making sure you're safe. And someday you might not need all those guys around you. I'm trying, Emma. I'm doing my damnedest right now to fix it, so you're going to be okay."
"But my roommate," I whispered back.
He sighed into the phone. "I can't make any promises about her. I'm trying, but you're my first priority, Emma. I promise you this will all be over soon."
I clenched the phone tighter. "You promise?"
"I do. I can promise that."
I nodded and felt a tear fall onto the pillow. "Okay."
"Are you okay?"
Concern filtered into his voice now.
"Are you eating?"
I got scared. The admission slipped me before I knew what I was going to say.
"I'm sorry, Emma. I should have been there."
"No, you said that you have things to do. You have to work. You are doing something to make sure that I'm safe." Even as I thought that, shame tore through me. He was right. I was angry that he left and that he stayed away for so long. I was angry that he hadn't called or texted. I was angry that he wasn't beside me. But Carter wasn't normal. This wasn't a normal relationship. And then I bolted upright in bed. Carter and I were in a relationship. The last time I'd been in a relationship, I squeezed my eyes shut. The guy had cheated on me, robbed me, and turned all of my friends against me. It was another reason why I was only friends with Mallory and Amanda. The few friends I had in college were snooty and disloyal. Mallory and Amanda seemed safe when I met each of them. AJ and Carter had been my first family. The few friends I had in college could never be considered as family, but that changed once I met Mallory after I graduated. She became my family, and then Amanda was included. Ben got added because he never left Mallory's side for years. But now those three were gone, and Carter had come back. As I sat there, struggling to breathe, tears flowed down my face. Everyone left.
"Emma?"
I became aware of his voice. The phone had fallen into the covers, and I grabbed it. "Sorry."
"Are you okay?"
"I'm fine."
"Emma."
"I am." I rushed out. "When are you coming back?"
"I'll be back tomorrow night."
"Good." I took a deep breath. "That's good."
"Are you sure you're okay?"
"I'm good." And I was. As long as I heard his voice, felt his voice, had him in my life, I was good. But it wasn't going to last. Nothing good lasted for me. He was going to go away. I just didn't know when or how it would happen.
"Okay."
He wasn't convinced. I counted to 10, hoping he'd let it go. I couldn't spill any of the thoughts that were racing in my mind. They were too much.
"So what's this I hear that you're cooking for the guys now?"
My shoulders sagged. He had let it go. "Yeah, I felt bad. I'm going to cook for the whole group this weekend." He chuckled.
"I'm sure they'll love it, no matter what you cook."
I slid back under my covers. We talked for another hour, the longest conversation I ever had over the phone. I could have continued for another hour, but I told him to go to sleep after I heard his exhaustion. He sighed into the phone.
It's good to hear your voice, Emma. I've missed you too.
I couldn't hold back a grin. Good night, Carter.
Good night. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow. Then I heard the dial tone and laid the phone next to me. I slept with it beside me. Carter. When he put his phone away, his associate glanced up from the parallel seat. He asked,
"Is she all right?"
"She feels frustrated and trapped. She doesn't know what's going on, and it's making her angry."
The older man frowned.
"She told you all that. She doesn't know she feels all of that. But you do."
Carter threw his comrade a grin.
"I always do. I know things about you, too. Would you like me to enlighten you?"
He started to open his mouth, but Jean groaned.
"Please, don't."
He paused for a second.
"Are you going to tell her what's going on?"
"Not yet. I want to wait."
The older man lifted his phone.
"I got off the phone with Christian."
Carter waited, more alert and quiet, if that was possible. When his comrade hesitated, he lifted an eyebrow.
"Am I supposed to guess? Is this when you're going to question my intuitive senses?"
"Shut up."
A grin slipped from the other man. He shook his head. Carter reminded him of his son. It was why he vouched for him when Favre brought him into the family. Carter never knew that, and he didn't want him to know, although it was a fair assumption that Carter probably did. He treated him differently, but then again, Carter Reed had demanded different treatment than the others. He'd always been better than the rest. He had proved that again with the feat he pulled off.
"Jean,"
Carter prompted.
"They're deliberating right now. We'll know the decision by tomorrow."
He eyed the younger man. He seemed as unfazed and cold as always.
"You're not worried?"
"Legitimate business is always good business. They won't pass on it."
"If they do..."
Carter turned back to his window.
"Then I'll figure something else out."
Jean shifted in his seat, trying to stretch his long legs. He had no doubt Carter would find a different way. He always did. Then he cursed. The damn jets were so cramped, even the private ones could use bigger leg spaces. It was the next day, at the end of my shift, when I learned the real reason he was headed to New York. Teresa called me and gushed over the phone. "You're back on." "I'm back on what?" I grinned as I heard her excitement and pulled the office door shut behind me. As it clicked in place, I turned for the elevator. The whole day had been torturous. I knew that I'd see Carter that evening. The day went slower because of that. "The bourbon account. You're back on," she laughed. "Allison was horrible. She was so flustered by your boyfriend, she kept dropping everything. She almost dropped the computer equipment, but Noah sent her out of the room. So you're back in. That's great, right?"
"Yeah," I frowned.
"My boyfriend?"
"Yeah, about that."
She turned serious.
"Not cool, Emma."
"What are you talking about?"
"Carter Reed. Your boyfriend, the guy I saw you with at the club, but stupid me didn't realize was Carter Reed."
She grew quiet.
"Were you laughing at me? Was that why you didn't say anything?"
"What?" I punched the elevator button. "No. How do you know about Carter? I didn't think you had ever met him."
"What do you mean, how do I know? He's Noah's best friend, and he owns some shares in the hotel."
"I thought you said Noah offered him shares and he turned them down."
"He offered him more shares and he turned those down, but he already owns 32% of the business. I thought you knew that."
She sounded sheepish.
"Okay, I'll admit that I never believed Noah, but I'm realizing that I judged him wrong before I ever really met him."
I stepped inside the elevator and pushed my button. "Carter and I don't talk about that stuff."
"Oh."
I sighed in frustration. A headache was coming on. Carter was there? He was in the meeting? And that was why he was going to New York. Not for me. not like he had said.
Of course he was there. We had to present the new account to the board so that we can go through with making it a brand. You knew that.
But I hadn't. I really hadn't. I sighed into the phone.
Look, I have to go. Can we talk about this later?
No, that's the thing. We're flying back now. We're on his jet with him. He's being nice, Emma. And he said that he wants to treat us tonight.
I'm calling you to tell you to get your cute butt all dressed and sexified. We're going to Octave tonight, and we're going to be with the owner. Can you imagine what perks go with that? It's awesome enough just when Noah and I go there because Noah knows him, but actually being with the owner? I'm really excited. And Brianna's going to be there, too. We already asked. He promoted her once he found out that she was working there. I'm not sure what she does, but Noah's okay with her working there now. Obviously, your boyfriend did that for him. Stop calling him my boyfriend.
She grew quiet on her end, but the elevator opened on mine. I stepped out and headed towards my back exit. When the door opened and I slid into the back seat, Mike was next to me. He gave me a small wave.
I'm sorry. I groaned into the phone. I'm irritated with him, not you. I shouldn't take it out on you.
Oh, well, you're still going to Octave tonight, right? Even if you're mad at him, you'll still go, please?
I grinned at how eager she was.
Yes, I'll go for you.
And for him, she whispered into the phone. Even if you're pissed right now, imagine the hot makeup sex. That man is one fine specimen, Emma.
I know, I should hate him. I used to, but I can't deny the sex appeal of that man. Not one bit. If I wasn't so used to Noah and how attractive he is, I would have reacted the same way as Allison. Good thing I've got some immunity built up, huh?
You're horrible, she laughed. Just happy that you're back on the team again. Noah already told me that he's going to promote us both. He really doesn't want Mr. Hudson to get the benefits from this account, so he's moving you above him. Mr. Hudson is going to be your assistant. You're the head of project promotions now. Congratulations!
What?
There was a grumble on her end before she rushed out.
Sorry, I wasn't supposed to tell you that. It was a surprise for tonight, but dress sexy. Tonight will be so much fun, I promise.
Then I heard her say, "Shut it, Noah. If I hadn't said anything, she might not have come out. I don't care." Her voice grew clear again.
"I'll see you later, Emma. See you tonight."
It wasn't long until my phone lit up again. This time, it was Carter. I answered, "Calling to do damage control?" He sighed.
"No, but now I am. You're angry with me?"
"Were you sitting right next to her?"
"I'm in the back of the jet, there in the front."
"But how did you..."
"I had the intercom open on her end. I could hear everything she said to you."
He didn't even sound apologetic. "You were eavesdropping on her."
"Yes, I was, and I'll do it again and again when it comes to you. I'm starting to realize that you have no idea the lengths I have gone and will go for you."
I shut up and sat back. Then I surrendered.
"You weren't in New York for me."
"No, I wasn't, but I was in Chicago because of you. For you. I was in New York today for a friend of mine that asked me a long time ago to buy into his hotel so he could start up his idea. It was a good proposal, and I invested. It was smart on my part, one of the first decisions I did independent from those my reputation associates me with. That decision and that money have allowed me to further expand, and I am very close to becoming fully independent of those previous associates. Are you understanding me?"
I gulped.
Oh, yes. I was following along.
I was suddenly a starving person given their first morsel of food in months. I was hungry for more.
"You're coming back with them?"
"I'm coming straight to you."
Desire lit inside of me. The flame grew to a fire.
"Hurry."
"I am."
The raw need in his voice had me breathing hard.
"Are you still angry with me?"
I grimaced. "I was never angry at you, not really."
"Good."
I glanced at Mike,
who was studying his window with an intensity that told me he was very aware, and uncomfortably so, of our intimate conversation. I lowered my voice.
I have some things to tell you when you get here.
He hesitated on his end before he answered, his voice husky as well.
As do I.
My heart picked up. My hand grew sweaty around the phone.
Okay, then.
He chuckled.
Okay, then.
Did you get me kicked off the account?
Yes.
Why?
Because it wasn't safe for you. I didn't want you in New York, not right now. You're safer there and in my home. And it wasn't ethical. Noah shouldn't have put you on that team in the first place. He knew I was on the board. He knew about my relationship with you. He was trying to manipulate me.
I was confused again.
What are you talking about?
He didn't think you were going to approve the product?
No. My previous associates have another product that would be its competitor.
But you did approve it.
Of course I did.
My head was swimming.
This makes no sense to me.
He chuckled again.
This is my excuse to step away from the other product.
My chest felt constricted. They'll let you step away?
Yes, they will. I have done very well for those associates. They've known about my wish for independence, and with a venture I insured for them over this past week, I have fulfilled any obligations they might have had for me to the family.
Are you saying... No, it couldn't be. People didn't walk away from that life.
Yes, Emma. I'm free now.
I couldn't talk. My chest was heaving, my eyes were watering, and I gripped onto that phone like my life depended on it.
Emma.
Yes? I rung out. His voice dropped even more.
That's a good thing, right?
Yes, I breathed out. That's a very good thing.
Good.
His voice broke for a beat.
We're almost there. I'll be home soon.
I couldn't say anything. I should have said goodbye or safe travels, something. But the magnitude of what he had just told me hit me like a truck. I was bowled over at what that meant for both of us. 19. It was 5 hours later when I got his text.
Something came up. I'm sorry. We'll meet you at Octave tonight. The men are notified. They will drive you there at 10.
I didn't text him back. Maybe I should have, but my entire body was humming. I had been waiting for him. And now this. It wasn't long after that when I got a text from Teresa. Meet you at Octave. So excited. I spent the next hour choosing what I was going to wear. I was going for Teresa, and because Noah had promoted me, and, as tingles raced through me, because I was excited to see Carter, even if it was later than he told me and not where we'd be alone. So, as I headed downstairs, I ignored the shocked looks on the guys, and even the raised eyebrow as Mike scooted beside me. I didn't want to admit that I was dressing for somebody, certainly not for Carter. But I was. My tan dress fit like a second skin. The fact that it resembled a corset was an added bonus. As I walked into Octave and saw the reactions, I knew the dress had been perfect. However, when we neared the door to Carter's private office, I stopped walking. A fresh batch of shivers raced up and down my spine, but not the good kind. Scott Graham was approaching from the opposite end. As he stopped outside the door, he looked up, and his eyes trailed up and down my body. His lips pursed together in a wolf whistle, but two of the guards stepped in front of me, blocking his view.
"Mr. Graham."
Mike spoke up. He didn't move, nor did Lawrence, whose name I recently learned. Thomas also sidled closer to me. Scott tried to look around them, but this last maneuver put an entire human wall between us. I had never been more grateful for those guys.
"Hi, guys. You're going to see the boss?"
Thomas pressed his ear and said something. I couldn't hear, but it wasn't long until I heard another voice speak up. loudly with authority.
"Mr. Graham, Mr. Reed kindly requests that you leave his guests alone for the evening."
"What? But you've been relieved of your duty for the evening."
"What's going on here, Jean?"
His voice rose in anger.
"You can't tell me what to do."
"Actually,"
Jean spoke again, harshly now,
"I can. You've got the night off, Scott. I suggest you go on your own two legs."
There was silence, and as it stretched on to another minute, the guys stiffened around me. The air grew thick with tension, but then a bitter laugh came from the night manager.
"Fine. I'll go, but I'll be speaking with Carter himself about this tomorrow. He's expecting your phone call tonight."
The guys waited another minute before they parted before me. Scott Graham was gone, and so was the mysterious Jean. I felt like I could breathe easier again, and drew in a deep breath when Mike opened the door and disappeared inside. Three guards from behind me followed him inside. It wasn't long before some signal was given to the guards beside me, and Thomas nodded towards me.
"You may go in, Emma."
I gave him a gracious smile. "Thank you, Thomas." When I went in, I was taken aback. It was large and grandiose, with its own dance floor that extended out like a deck to an apartment. There were couches on one side, a table set on the other, and a bar. Carter's office could have been its own apartment. When I looked to the side, I saw four doors, and wondered if they were all bedrooms. The other places that we had used didn't come close to this. The place was extravagant for a nightclub office. I thought I met Carter in his private box before, but now I wondered if he had a few of them. The glass doors slid open, and Teresa came inside holding two huge drinks in her hand. Her eyes went wide.